Such a joy to sit up here and to hear such wonderful singing every year at Christmas Eve. It just really, I hope that from where you're sitting, you can just hear the sounds surrounding you of one another lifting up these songs. It really is a great blessing. And it's become part of how I celebrate Christmas. How do you celebrate Christmas? Study done by the Pew Forum last year indicated that 86% of Americans will gather with extended family or friends tonight or tomorrow. The same percentage will buy gifts for their friends and family. 79% of Americans will put up a Christmas tree. 65% will send Christmas cards. And only 54% will attend a religious service on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. So to paraphrase something that I heard a flight attendant say one time, we know you have many options when it comes to celebrating Christmas, so we want to thank you for choosing to celebrate it with us. If you wanted to be more creative, of course, you could adopt some more unusual customs that are practiced elsewhere in the world. According to an article in 2010 in Travel and Leisure, in Guatemala, the devil is burned in effigy on a bonfire to celebrate Christmas. In Japan, eating at Kentucky Fried Chicken for Christmas is so popular that at some KFCs you have to make reservations. In Wales, some friends go from house to house singing, accompanied by someone dressed as a dead horse. Well, maybe you're like Ebenezer Scrooge and you would say, as Scrooge did, you keep Christmas in your own way and let me keep it in mine. Well, undoubtedly, your family has its own customs, as I'm sure most of ours do. But if we really want to know how to celebrate Christmas, we need to look no further than the passage of Scripture that was read for us just a few moments ago by James Blaylock. Luke chapter 2, those well-known verses of the Christmas story. If you have a Bible or you want to use the one in the pew there, I invite you to turn over to Luke 2 as we look at these verses in more detail. Because here in the first Christmas, we find examples of the best ways for us to honor Christ and celebrate His birth in our Christmases. After the angel announced the good news of the Savior who'd been born in Bethlehem, the angelic host had erupted in this song of cosmic praise. The shepherds and those that they encountered celebrated the coming of Christ into the world in ways that we would do well to emulate. So I want to look at those briefly here tonight. The first one we find in verses 15 and 16. We should come and behold Christ the Lord. Earlier in the service, we sang a familiar song, O come, all ye faithful. Come and behold Him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. And when we sing that song, we're giving voice to these ancient shepherds who heard the angelic announcement. While they're out in the fields with their flocks, the angel appeared to them and said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. You see, it's interesting how the angel said, you will find Him. This was more than just an announcement that an event is taking place. This was an invitation. Come and meet this child. Come and behold the one who is born, the King. Come and behold Him for yourself. And so notice what the shepherds did. They said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that's happened that the Lord has made known to us. And that we read that they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. Well, how else should we respond to such good news? This is the gospel. A Savior has been born for us. We who are separated from God because of our sins have been invited to come and meet the one who's been born to take away our sins. So come in a hurry straight to Jesus and behold Him. The Christ of Christmas's manger grows up to be the Christ of Easter's cross. This baby would live the life of perfect righteousness, completely free from sin that we cannot live. And He would die to be our substitute so that in Him our sins can receive the full penalty they deserve under the holy justice of God. He takes our sins, and in exchange He offers us His righteousness. That's how He becomes our Savior. We turn from our sins in repentance and we claim Him by faith as our Lord, trusting Him to save us and reconcile us to God. You've heard the good news. A Savior has been born for you. Now come and behold Him. Behold Him by faith. Have you done that? Have you called upon Him to save you? If not, that's the best way of all possible ways to celebrate Christmas, is to receive personally for yourself the gift of heaven that's been given to you. This Savior who's come to rescue you and reconcile you to God. So come and behold Him. That's one way to celebrate Christmas. That's the best way. Secondly, another way that we can celebrate Christmas is to go and tell this good news to others. These shepherds had a story to tell. They had seen and met the Savior. God had become a human being in the person of Jesus Christ, and they saw Him with their own eyes. They had to tell other people what happened to them. The Bible says when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. As one writer says, if their story was not worth telling, then no story that's ever been told is worth telling. Not only did they have a story to tell, but they knew that they lived in a world where people needed to hear that story. The people all around them needed to know that a Savior had been born for them so that they could have hope and peace with God. These shepherds knew that they lived in a world filled with people who were lost and confused and dying. Their world was no different than ours. All around us are multitudes who are, in the words of Ephesians 2, without hope and without God in the world. Lost, confused, dying, separated from God the Father. That is the universal human condition. But Jesus had come to be the way, the truth, and the life that we might come to the Father by faith in Him. People who are lost need to find a way, and Jesus is the way. People who are confused need to find the truth, and Jesus is the truth. People who are dying need to find life, and Jesus is the life. People who are separated from God need to know that there is a way to come to Him, and that way is Jesus and only Jesus. So it's incumbent upon those of us who have come to behold Him by faith as our Lord and Savior to tell this news to others. The desperate longings of their hearts can be satisfied eternally in this Savior who has been born for them. We have met this Christ and we have received this salvation, so we can announce that good news to a world that desperately needs to hear it. That's a great way for you to celebrate Christmas. But then there's another way here, and that's to hear that good news with wonder. During the Christmas season, we have the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ presented to us in a variety of ways. There are songs that sing of Christ's birth. There are Christmas cards that express Christian sentiments of faith and hope and love. We come to church and we hear sermons. We watch the Charlie Brown Christmas special and we hear Linus tell that story. And it warms our hearts every time. And we hear those things over and over again. We hear them. But I wonder, do we still hear them with awe and with wonder in our hearts? The Bible says that those who heard what the shepherds were saying wondered at all the things which were told them by the shepherds. You know how your ears can become dull to sounds that you hear over and over again? Our house is right under the flight path of jets taking off at PTI. 9 years ago, it would keep us awake at night. Today, we hardly notice it. Someone visiting our home for the first time might wonder if we're under attack or something. They're amazed. They say, you don't even hear that? We don't even notice it. And I suppose that for some, the Christmas story has become kind of like that. We've lost our sense of wonder at it. We've heard it so many times that our ears have grown dull to it. But if we'd celebrate Christmas in the right kind of way, we would chase after that sense of wonder and never let it out of our grasp. How can we ever get used to or get over this astounding news of the marvelous grace of God? How can we grow dull and just yawn at the message that God has become one of us and come to dwell among us to save us? Perhaps the answer is that we need to pray and ask God to help us to rekindle that wonder and amazement in our hearts at the miracle of Christmas, that this Savior has come for us. That would be a good way to celebrate Christmas, to revel in the wonder of what you've heard and to ask the Lord to just multiply exponentially that wonder in our souls as we hear those glad tidings that Christ the Lord has been born to save us. Fourth example that we see, verse 19 of this text, is what Mary did. She treasured the good news and pondered it. Around my office, I have a lot of things that I treasure. There's a sculpture that my grandfather made, and there are pictures of my kids and pictures that they've drawn and pictures of my wife and my friends and objects that I've brought back from traveling around the world and so on. And, you know, I think more importantly than those things that sit on my bookshelves, there are those things in our hearts that we treasure. Memories of magical moments when we wish that time could have just stood still. And we cherish those things and we cling to them in our hearts and we pull them out every now and then, as it were, in the forefront of our mind, just so that we can behold them for a moment and smile. The Bible says that Mary treasured this moment. She tucked it away in her heart, knowing that the days would come when she would pull these things out again to reflect on them. Mary treasured them. All these things that were occurring around her, the birth of her child, the visit of these shepherds, and the stories that they told of angels who had visited them, and the memories of her own visitation with an angel who had announced God's plan for her to bear this child. These things and many more, all these things, it says there, she treasured and pondered in her heart. The word ponder means to reflect meditatively. When someone is pondering, they're thinking intently about something. They're piecing it together like a puzzle, tying together strings of understanding and meaning. And Mary was connecting dots, as it were, in her mind, reflecting on how God's mercy had been poured out to her, how God's grace had been shown to her, and considering all that the birth of this child would mean to her, and more than just her, would mean to the whole world. That's how you celebrate Christmas. Take the truths of God's word, treasure it in your heart, and ponder it. Take all these things, the promises and the prophecies that foretold the coming of the Savior centuries before it happened, the narrative accounts of how it came to pass, the gospel truths that proclaim the salvation that Jesus was born to bring us. Ponder those things. Reflect meditatively upon them. Ponder the moment when those things first became real to you personally. That moment when you first turned to Christ by faith and trusted Him to save you. Keep it like a treasure in your heart and ponder it. Ponder how His grace has worked within you since that day. Ponder the promise of heaven. Ponder the hope of eternity spent with God because this Savior has been born for us. Ponder the miracle. Ponder the mystery. And ask the Lord to deepen our understanding and sharpen our affection and our adoration for Him as we pull these treasures out of our hearts and rehearse them and ponder them in our minds. I think it'd be really a wasted Christmas if we took in all the customs and traditions and didn't spend time pondering the treasure of who Christ is and what He had done for us, what He's doing in and through us, and what He's going to do with us forever. There's much more that we could ponder, and many things that we perhaps do not understand, but we cling to those things by faith and trust God to enlarge our faith and develop it into understanding, and to do that ever more until our faith becomes sight and we see Him face to face. The last thing we see here, how do we celebrate Christmas? Verse 20 reminds us that we need to go back with glory and praise to God for the gift of the Lord Jesus. Verse 20 says that the shepherds went back. Where did they go back to? They went back to where they came from, back to their fields, back to their flocks. But they went back as changed people. They went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. They were caught up in the worship of God in Christ. There have been many popular Christmas songs over the years that asked, you know, a question like, why can't it be this way all year long? Maybe you've wondered that yourself. Christmas feels so good. Where's that feeling in August? Why can't it feel that way? Oh, let's just don't kid ourselves. January. Why can't it feel that way then? In a few days, all the presents will be unwrapped and put away. The tree comes down and we go back. Some of you are here tonight because you're visiting from out of town. You've come to spend Christmas with your friends or your family. And you'll go back. You'll go back home. Some of you have spent a couple of days off from work and you'll go back. You'll go back to work when it's all said and done. Because we always have to go back. But we don't have to go back the same. Because if we've truly celebrated Christmas, if we've beheld Christ, if we've told the story and heard it afresh with wonder and treasured these things and pondered them in our hearts, we go back different. We go back praising and glorifying God for all that we have heard and seen concerning this Lord Jesus who was born to save us. We go back with a fresh commitment to worship the Lord Jesus, not just at Christmas, but every day, and to serve Him with gladness, filled with His Spirit, filled with songs of praise in our heart. I mean, you know, why don't you walk around all the time singing songs? Why is it just at Christmas? Is it because at Christmas our hearts are more attuned to Christ? We could be that way every day and go back differently than we came. I think then we'll know that we've really celebrated Christmas. The test is how we go back. And the amazing thing is that when we go back praising and glorifying God in this way, not only will we know that we've really celebrated Christmas, everybody else will really know that we've celebrated Christmas too. And we'll explain to them how we've heard the story with wonder. And we'll tell them the story. And we'll invite them to come and behold Him. And we'll treasure those things. We'll ponder them in our hearts in those cold days in January and February, and those rainy days in March and April, and those hot days in June, July, and August, and when we're raking leaves in the fall, we'll treasure those things and we'll ponder them. And others will see what Christmas is all about, and maybe they will come to know how to celebrate Christmas as well. A few days ago, Richard Walters gave me a copy of a really beautiful prayer that I think captures my own sentiments and my prayer for us all as we think about these examples of how to celebrate Christmas. So as I bring this message to a close, let me share these words as my prayer for you. May you be filled with the wonder of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the determination of the Magi, and the peace of the Christ child. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.